make.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve.
Oh, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 39. I'm Nick Persanowski, and with me this week and every week is Steve Morgan.
Live from MIT!
Tim Madden.
Way to go, Cupcake!
And Charles Caldwell.
I'm super serious, you guys.
I like your pose, too. It's really good.
Before we get into anything else, I just want to throw out there that Charles got locked out of his house.
Didn't stop me from breaking in.
And I have to replace your door.
Yeah, at least the door handled today.
Charles doesn't do anything with sensitive fingers.
No,
Charles
has broken so many things.
It's like Charles just has Hulk hands at all times. He smashes through everything.
Did you get house insurance? And does it cover you?
You did get it.
I got a Charles rider.
The deductible's pretty high, so I need to break a lot.
They're like, what happened? You're like, well, I came in here and then this shit happened. Just all just everything's destroyed.
Let's just talk about the elephant in the room. Elephant noises.
I like it.
Alright, let's jump right into it and couple news items this week. The things of interest, actually, more than anything. There was a publicity stunt done by the people who are doing Watch Dogs, Ubisoft people, and well, they sent.
I thought it was a company that they had hired.
Oh, potentially, it's a company that they hired.
Yeah, some idiot PR company has done that.
So
yeah, this is ridiculous. This is, like, I don't know how at any point they thought this was a good idea.
Okay, so they sent a black safe to an office in Australia, and they attached a letter to it that said, "Check your voicemail."
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Apparently, at some point, the package that they had left off started ticking, so the entire office was evacuated because they thought it was a bomb scare.
Well, it had a key code on it, and they plugged in the key code, and then things started beeping.
Well, and then they evacuate everyone. They call the bomb squad in, and the bomb squad opens it up, and what's inside but a baseball hat that says Watch Dogs, a copy of Watch Dogs, and a beanie. Terrible.
Idiots. The bomb squad's idiots. Like, oh, cool. Watch Dogs.
Taking this one.
What the fuck? Of course, you see that IGN got it and just assumed it was publicity and opened it up. They're just like, whatever, what the fuck?
Yep.
Because Australians being super sensitive.
Dang.
Yeah, so that was ridiculous.
Funny.
Is that like I don't know if anyone's played it, but is that like a thing? Is it like, do you crack safes or something?
Well, I think you crack. I think there's a. I haven't played it yet, but there's a lot of just like hacking.
Yeah,
into
I played
shit.
It for. I played it for like 4 or 5 hours now, so not a lot. But yeah, it's mostly revolves around hacking. Basically, you have like a phone which hacks, and basically the whole concept is like you're able to interact with the environment like via hacking. So you can like when you're driving, you can like hack streetlights to give you green lights, and you can hack. Like spike strips or like gates that like to stop cars from behind you, or like hack bridges and make them like open or close to like help you get away from cops or like chasing people and stuff. So that's how the whole game works, and it even works with like you can hack cameras to get like vantage points and open doors and explode pipes, and so, yeah, the whole game revolves around essentially hacking.
I feel like it would make more sense if it was like some hacking thing, but the fact that they sent like this,
I don't remember any
black
bombs
safe, like,
in the game or any like.
Yeah,
I mean, I know they got to that point, but
a black safe.
Yeah.
Poor choices.
Yeah, that's a little tricky. But I mean, I guess
these guys on coke, like, we gotta get a safe. We gotta send it to these guys.
You know,
it needs to have a hat, the game, and a beanie, and that's it.
But I mean, like. Publicity is publicity, so
yeah, true.
So it's kind of, I mean, yeah. It's a risky move, but you know, we're talking about it, so
true. So it means it's big time.
Also, probably send somebody to jail, but
yeah,
whatever.
We probably invoice them for the cost of the bomb squad.
Yeah. It's probably not that expensive in relation to like the PR. Firm though, no. They're probably like, oh, $40,000 or whatever cost.
Incidentals.
In other ridiculous news recently, the Wii U or Nintendo has announced that they're going to have a GameCube controller adapter for the Wii U.
This didn't already exist.
Yeah, it's true. But this is awesome because I have like 4 GameCube controllers in my room, so. But I don't have a Wii U, though, so I guess that...
It's irrelevant.
But, I mean,
what were the GamePad controllers that went into the Wii?
The Wii had a GameCube like on the side.
It was
port.
A port.
It had like a... Yeah. Yeah, that's why I have them, because I used to use them on my Wii.
So why did they get rid of it for the Wii U?
Probably because like, they realized like most people that owned the Wii were like didn't use it. I mean, it's just like a little hub. It looks like a little box that you plug in and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably smart. I mean, depending on how much it costs, I guess.
Well, it's...
I gotta get my money's worth out of my WaveBird.
I know, I was gonna say, only if it has WaveBird support is this actually gonna be worth it. Because the GameCube controller was actually not very good.
Yeah, they're pretty
good. I didn't like where this, like the joysticks were, or like just the button setup and the fucking Z button up there. Like, whatever...
Yeah, they're all messed up. But when you're playing Wii games, you realize how much better they are than.
Oh yeah, totally. So, and I mean, like, I'd much rather play with a WaveBird controller on Wii U than one of those giant gamepad things.
Yep, I agree.
So.
That's like, I mean, I guess if it's a lot of money, that's stupid. But if it's like cheap, I mean, it looks pretty flimsy from one of the pictures I'm seeing. It's like it looks like it's, you know, probably $15 or something.
Flimsy piece of plastic, $50.
Yeah, probably, knowing those guys. But...
It actually has no connections whatsoever. It's just a piece of plastic.
It's a piece of plastic.
Nintendo branded plastic, $50.
You have to buy all the cords that connect it and shit. They're like extra. You're like
$10 each.
That was like the one of the biggest drawbacks of the Wii is like you get the Wii, they'd be like, oh man, I can play so many games with my friends, and then you'd be like, how much is another controller? They'd be like, oh, it's $40, and then that thing that attaches to it's like also $25, and you'd be like, $65 to play with somebody, like, and like if you want to play with 4 people, that's like that was like a whole nother Wii you have to invest if you wanted to play with other people.
Yeah, a stupid little nunchuck thing.
How much is an Xbox?
Yeah, I mean, those are like 40 to 60, right?
$60.
Yeah. They're also, I don't know. Maybe.
Better.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm biased, but they seem like a little better.
Well, that's why you just gotta go to a big video game conference and win an extra controller.
Yeah, no kidding.
Shut your goddamn mouth.
I mean, they seem a lot better than this like square dildo thing that you use for fucking the Wii. POS.
Alright, well, in other console news, the Xbox, or Microsoft is opening up more GPU power to developers in their new developer kits in the more recent developer kit update. So I think as we had talked about, kind of predicted that as soon as they got rid of the Kinect, they're opening up that GPU space for people to actually use to yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
That's good. I'm curious if they made it so that like if the, you know, if your game doesn't use the Kinect, you can kind of just shut that off and take advantage of the extra GPU power, because that would be pretty significant. Even if it's it was 10%,
it was a considerable amount.
5%. That's still pretty big for a game. You know, to gain that many frames per second would be huge.
Well, the thing now is like, there's really, with this update, there's going to be like no difference between the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, except for like software and apps and whatnot. Yeah. So,
yeah,
pure performance wise, like purely performance wise, they're going to be pretty identical, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and to go even further, I think, and we kind of talked about this before, kind of like the unification of consoles, because they both run on the same processor, same hardware. It's getting increasingly easier to develop games for both consoles, and I think that's, for consumers, that's a good thing, because that means that there's less barriers for games to be on both consoles. Yep. So the further this keeps going, the better.
Yeah, the only time you're really going to see like console-only specific titles is like when they have deals with like that company. I don't think it'll be like, oh, you know, we made it for this because it's easier. It'll be more like, well, we're making Destiny for Xbox or PS4, you know, like because that's what we want to do. Like, we're going to make Halo for Xbox because like that's our title.
Yeah, right. They gave us $2 million to do it, so...
So that's cool.
Or 200.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, that's cool, though. I mean, I think that also puts, in a way, it kind of, like, it puts more pressure on developers to really, and on, I guess, on the consoles itself to, like, make developers make really good, unique titles for them, because otherwise people are less likely to buy their console. It's basically what it comes down to is, like, now it's all about the, like, titles, right? So.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I think that's, I mean, as someone who's kind of on the fence, that's cool. That means I get to kind of like watch the titles come out and decide via that, so to speak.
Yeah. The more in line they are. I mean, now, like, if you buy an Xbox without Kinect, it's, you know, same price, same, you know, basically the same hardware specs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough sell either way.
Really, kind of depends on what you're devoted to in terms of. Like IP and stuff, but
for the most part, it comes down to titles, and you know, I don't. Not do either system support backwards compatibility?
PlayStation, I think PlayStation Now is like the PS4's kind of answer to that.
Yeah. But I mean, that doesn't really factor in. So I mean, in reality, the only real factor at this point is, you know, who has the titles that you want to play,
or if you're a stickler for controllers, right. I guess. But
or user interface, depending on if there's a significant difference. So I really think that's probably virtually the same.
I just saw in a tweet this week that Microsoft or Xbox is getting 46 new, like, movie and video apps on there, which is great and all, but now they have 225 apps, which are, like, it seems like 90% movies and video game, or movies and, like, television shows, and, like, just that kind of media stuff. So it's like, why do you need 225 video apps?
sounds overwhelming. What are they, like, ABC?
It's like Comedy Central,
like,
and, like, the... Epics, and you know, there's a ton of different just like video streaming things that you can rent stuff or you can like get a subscription to. So it's like, why would you need all of them?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it goes back to like Microsoft just having like a different game plan. Like they. You know, they already pretty much control the PC. Well, you know, I mean, they're dwindling, but, you know, they're trying to make inroads into the living room, and I think they're trying to go for, like, a, you know, a more holistic, like, family. Like, it can do pretty much anything, kind of that approach, instead of focusing on, like, the whole gaming aspect. Like, I think PlayStation is pretty much built as the you know, the gaming console for gamers that gamers want to play. Whereas Xbox is like the console that can play TV and, you know, you can talk to it. And it's like they're mm-hmm. striving for different
sure,
things.
Yeah.
You know, for better or worse, but
yeah, it's really weird too because I mean we've like talked about this stuff a lot, but I guess I think it's really interesting because I think like Xbox is really competing with more than just PlayStation, right? Like there's a lot of other people that are trying to do that style of things, like Roku and smart TVs yeah. and your phone and your tablet
Steam.
And your Steam, you know, like everything. You know, we have a lot of things in our life already that are super accessible that allow me to, like, watch TV on, or watch TV when I don't have TV or, you know, on the internet or, you know, I can talk to my phone and get answers. You know, I just think that, like, they're fighting a huge battle, but there's obviously, like, a huge reward if they were to win it. So, I mean, it's interesting when you, like, think about it like that. Know the difference between the two systems, the way Xbox is really trying to fight a very huge battle and PlayStation's really sticking to like mm-hmm. gamers, right? Like that's what they're worried about mostly. So
yeah, I think the niche marketing will be more successful, to be honest with you. I think there's too many other things. Xbox will try to make inroads in other areas, but will eventually just come back to its core audience, which is was gamers with Xbox or Xbox 2.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, they know
that. I mean, they'll probably make some inroads. There'll probably be services of the Xbox One that will stick with it, but overall, I mean, there's so many different ones. Like you said, there's so many different. I mean, even smart TVs now, they come with all the features that Xbox One has, so why would you
want an
Xbox
One? Why
would you feel the need?
That's true.
Yeah, but like at the same time, Microsoft knows that like if they're able to somehow win over customer base. And get people to buy Xbox Ones over smart TVs or over, you know, Roku boxes or all these other things. Like, they just know that there's so many people. Like, everyone mm-hmm. wants those things, right? So, I mean, everybody, you don't even have to game. You want to be able to watch TV on your... I don't know. I mean, no one's going to pay $400
right,
for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just think that, like, it's sort of like the same style that... I think they're trying to steal a little bit, like, out of the Wii's book, right? Where they were able to hit the masses on something really kind of... Not say gimmicky, but like, you know, really just more like family oriented, and I guess I understand it, but it's a tough battle to win.
Yeah, well, I think that actually transitions nicely into we're going to talk about E3 since it's next week, and I think all of the different consoles are really going to bring something new to the table and. Like, they're really going to show us which one is actually the most interesting to us at this point in time.
We get to learn who to hate.
It's going to be a huge games year, I think. Because hardware came last year. It's all out. Like, the new Xbox, PlayStation, Wii U had been out already. So, this year is going to be software. And just like... I think they're going to kill it. And, I mean, I think Xbox One is stream... It has their press conference on... Is going to be on television. I don't remember what channel. PlayStation... Wow. Sony is going to have their press conference. They're streaming it to, like, movie theaters all over the country. And people can get in for free. And watch the E3 press conference, like, free in a movie theater. So, the fact that both of them are kind of doing this and making it more available to the masses, I feel like means that there's going to be some big, big things coming.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, last year it was such a, like, a hardware obsession, you know, we all... It was about the new consoles and the launch titles and stuff. But I feel like this year, you know, I think people kind of were hoping for like a clear leader to come out of, you know, the initial launch to see either one company just kind of take the lead and then follow that. But they're so, I mean, Sony definitely has a lead, but it's pretty small margin between the two. So it's good competition, which I think in the long run is good for everyone. So I think that, you know, no matter what happens, it's going to be exciting.
Definitely. I mean, in terms of what's, in terms of, like, what's actually, like, definitely going to be shown, what are you guys excited about?
Well, I mean, the speculation? That's the question. I mean, I think that there's some games that if they do get shown, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be super speculative, because we don't really know what's coming out, right? Like, we're kind of just, like, at the mercy here. So, well, I mean, the Zelda title, which may or may not be even talked about, because, like you said, Nintendo's not going to be doing any formal announcements, has been, like, thrown around. So that's obviously, like, my first thing that I'm, like, excited about. There's, like, possibility of, like, I say, Dishonored 2. I guess there's some speculation that that might be. And then there's always the inevitable Half-Life 3, like, announcement. Hopefully. Which will never come out, but...
But that's, they won't announce it at D3.
Probably. No, they definitely will. They'll announce it in, like, someone's cellar, just to, like...
Hey, did like, Tim and I be with you? Hey, did you know that E3's coming?
Half-Life 3 is coming out? Everyone's like, oh my god.
There's a few suggestions from the listener questions and announcements that piqued my interest. I just think thinking about some of these games. So I think it'd be cool to go through those. Because I can, I don't know, I'm going to say I'm jumping on the bag one, but it's definitely some of them where I'm like,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Which one is interesting?
Sure, it was the one by Wolf King, 2010. It says, I'm experiencing television when it comes to Destiny, a Metroid Wii U title, which shocked the hell out of me. I don't know so much about Destiny just because some of the stuff I'd seen doesn't really make me too excited, but Metroid, oh my god, I can't imagine a Metroid game coming out. It'd be pretty cool. I have all the ones for Wii. So it'll be really nice.
Yeah, and I feel like they have, like, Nintendo has to announce a Metroid game. You know, they need some big titles out there. I mean, they have Smash Brothers. Yeah.
Metroid, Mario,
Zelda.
Yeah,
exactly. So a Metroid game.
Smash Bros.
A Metroid game at this point would be, especially since, you know, they're trying to say you know the Wii U has, you know, the HD graphic capabilities. That it's, you know, that it can compete with these other systems. So if they came out and they showed a Metroid, which was, like, super detailed, like beautiful world, like, that had the same kind of gameplay and traditional mechanics that we're used to, that, like, we're used to from the past games, then I think that, you know, I think that would be a huge killer.
I think they would shock a lot of people with that, and it would be, you know, it would be something for people to talk about, for sure.
I think, going back to what he said about Destiny, I think, you know, I'm excited for what Destiny could be, and I'm really hoping that, you know, at E3, since it's coming out in September, I feel like everybody just really needs to see something that sets it apart from everything else and shows us that it is and can be, you know, the amazing game that they set it out to be. And I, you know, not that I have any, I have a lot of faith in Bungie, so it's, I don't.
Yeah. I think, I agree with you. I think, you know, I think Destiny, if there's one console game that I'm excited about, it's Destiny, because I think that Bungie, I mean, they have the track record of making just games that are, you know, I guess the best way to describe it is like a space opera. You know, it's this huge, encompassing thing that will engulf your whole life. You know, it's something that becomes part of you when you play it. And so I think Destiny, you know, I mean, it has a very lofty title name, you know, that's pretty ballsy of them, but at the same time, I think that if there's one company that could do it, it's Bungie. So I'm definitely excited about that, and to go back to Metroid, I think that would be for like a boost to Nintendo. I think mm-hmm. Metroid would get people talking for sure.
Absolutely. Have you guys seen anything on Sunset Overdrive? That's an Xbox One title.
No.
I haven't seen a lot on it, but
is this like the MMO, GTA MMO or something?
It's like really, really off the wall, kind of. I don't know. Look it up. Yeah, oh, it does. It does look weird.
Looks weird.
But from what I've seen of it, it looks pretty cool. Hopefully, we'll see more on that.
It's like a. This is like kind of a genre that's becoming like bigger, just like more ridiculous.
Well, I mean, like I think that's kind of how you know. Like, that's kind of how Borderlands is. You know, it's like it's that like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it has an RPG aspect to it, but it's ridiculous. The storyline's ridiculous. The gameplay is crazy. The gun names are like ridiculous. You know, it's just. there's a line and they cross it a lot of the time.
Yeah. It's like, it's funny because like getting in, like, you know, we've been playing Wildstar since that came out and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little later, but, that's like very much so like this, right? Like MMOs were very realistic, like super realistic and they're like about role playing and then like, you know, in Wildstar it's just like, yeah, help! Beep, you're just leveled. You know, it's just like, very like, just does it's just like very mocking of itself, and I think that's funny because we're just so used to stuff that's so real, like super realistic and super cool. But like, that's how we all like act. So it's just, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's funny. I think it's funny that games are trending in that direction, like popular games, I guess, because there's always been games like that.
Yeah, I think that kind of like self-deprecating part is kind of like important in the overall evolution of games.
Yeah.
I think this hasn't been announced or anything, and there's been not really any talk about it either, but one game that I would really want to see at E3 this year, just because it fits into Bethesda's timing, is a new Fallout game, which like Fallout, I mean, I don't know what. I mean, I think it's the fifth one in the series, because New Vegas I think was 4, and then there was some DLC in between there. But you know, New Vegas came out in 2010. Fallout 3 came out in 2008. Before that, Fallout 2 was 2004, I think, or the previous Fallout game, if there was another iteration of it, that it was 2004. So I feel like 4 years makes sense. Even if they don't announce it for this year, I could see it being for like early 2015. And it would be amazing because it's also a big deal. 'Cause like Fallout 3 was like, you know, kind of the start of, well, toward the beginning of the previous generation for PlayStation 3 and Xbox. And, to have a new Fallout game on new gen consoles would be sweet.
Yeah, I mean it's a unique genre, and I think it there's a lot of people who like enjoy seeing a destroyed world. So I would say
some people just want to watch the world burn and blow Megaton off the face of the earth.
True story, though.
But and I also think like strategically, if they wanted to like leak it, or, I mean, if they wanted to put out a teaser, now's the time, you know, totally. Start drumming up interest.
There's a few other like larger scale games that I'm still waiting to hear more about, like the new Dragon Age, and then the, I was just looking at a news article that referenced something else, and I saw one about a Mass Effect 4, though I don't know why. That's almost like,
really?
Like speculation, but it certainly would be interesting.
I would be interested in that, but I'm afraid that Mass Effect 4 is going to become Halo 4, you know, like a And obviously,
or worse, game, Call of Duty 4. Modern game, Warfare 3.
You know, a game that follows an established trilogy that just does not feel right.
Yeah.
But to be fair, you know, if you're like a fan of the game, then you no matter what, you're gonna be excited if they announce a fourth of something. You know?
Sure.
The universe of those games is huge, so it's definitely viable that they could have a game in the Mass Effect universe that isn't in any way related to Shepard or any of those characters. It's because, I mean, there's so many races. The Mass Effect system was a whole. Basically, you can go anywhere in that specific galaxy, so it's kind of like, well, there's other places you can go.
I would kill a man for like a Mass Effect MMO, dude. That would be so much fun. It's a very rich universe, and after playing all the games, I feel like it'd be really fun to play.
Side note, that should be a podcast discussion point at some sequences. The benefit of a single player series to having an MMO. Where the universe is so rich, because for me, I mean, to some extent, an MMO of any game is definitely interesting, but to another point is, I don't want to share that with anyone. When I'm playing that game, right. I just want to be in that universe.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I feel like Mass Effect is kind of like a new age Star Wars, you know. It's like a super rich universe that has like all these crazy alien races, and you know, you feel no matter what, even just playing the games, you feel like a very small part of the overall universe. Absolutely. Even though you're like a epic hero, even just with that, you feel very minuscule. And I think that plays a big role in like, and at least for me, one to see like this grander scale, you know, see like. You know, thousands of people playing it at once, all part That's of it. True. You know,
yeah, more so than WoW, where WoW is you're supposed to be this great hero, and then there's a million other heroes that are all doing the hero thing. I mean,
right.
That just didn't seem. I mean, it's fun, but it just didn't seem realistic, especially considering the backdrop of all the other Warcraft games where you're playing as the hero and. Making change in the world, but with Mass Effect, I mean, you are this massive hero, but you're just one component of a larger group.
Yeah.
Let's go to a couple other listener responses. I don't know if you guys play this series at all, but at Ivanoo's. Says Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer. What he wants is a Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer with Riku in it. Everything else can wait.
Those games were fun.
Yeah.
I
never played the second one. Was it good? Was it better than the first? Or?
You know, I think I only played that one a little bit.
The first one was really awesome. I loved it. It was so good. But I just got stuck on Ursula, man. That bitch just fucking was so hard. I never used Goofy, or no, I never used Donald, and I found out later that Donald was, like, a really good healer. And I just used Goofy, and he was fucking terrible. He was like a tank, but he just didn't do shit, so it made it really hard later in the game. So I just quit. Like, I literally rage quit and never played the game ever again. Rage quit on Ursula. That bitch got me good.
She sucker punched you, literally.
But it was awesome, man. Like, there was, like, the Aladdin world. It was so awesome, man. It was, like, so cool that you got to, like, go through all that stuff. Like, especially, like, our age genre, like, our age generation, where it's just, like, those were the movies that we grew up watching. So, it was just really...
The weird juxtaposition.
I heard the new Kingdom Hearts game might have a level dedicated to Frozen, like, the Frozen universe.
It's fine with me.
I feel like that
burn it down to the ground.
Down to the ground.
You know, to what Steve is saying, I feel like that's kind of the purpose of it, is to kind of engage like that generation. You know. Yeah. Like it's nostalgia and at the same time like a way to kind of like bridge the gap between gamers.
Definitely.
Yep.
longtime listener at Shifty25 said, Zelda! Exclamation point. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, this is what I said. I would literally shit my pants. I'd probably wear a diaper. I'd throw a diaper.
I think it's
just throw my pants.
I honestly,
if
I'd shit my pants and then I'd throw the diaper in the street, a car in the street, and say, Zelda, man, Zelda.
You just shit your pants and then throw your feces at the first person you saw.
AKA Thursday for Charles.
That's what actually Charles was doing when he got locked out of his house. He started throwing his own feces.
And unfortunately, the first person I saw was my neighbor Drew, so I had to throw feces at him, obviously. And then I had to ask him to help me.
I think a Zelda announcement is inevitable, and if it isn't, it's a mistake.
It's kind of a risky thing, right? Like, it's a grab bag, right? Like, they're like, if they announce that it's like a Wind Waker 2, I'm gonna fucking scream. Like, if they announce that it's like, that it's, I don't know, I'm sure there's like a million ways they could frame this. Like you play as actually Zelda or something, I'm gonna be pissed off. But if they announce, if they,
as the anti-hero.
Yeah, if they announce something like cool and like, that looks awesome stuff, I'm gonna be. And sadly, that means literally just making exactly the same as last game. I probably wouldn't even care, but yeah, man, I'm excited. I mean, it's like, you know, it's exciting.
Why is hating on Wind Waker? Wind Waker was a great game,
dude. Wind Waker was fine, but it was just the cartooniness of it.
Yeah.
You also know that I'm bitter because I never got the song that traveled you anywhere.
She's sitting there.
So I literally
sailing for two hours.
Yeah, I used to like go get food and come back and be like halfway there. It's like, it's fucking retarded. I've got to go against the wind across the whole map. It's going to take me a day.
Realistic.
Too realistic.
Bringing survivalism to Zelda. You gotta make sure you eat, son.
Also, like, Zelda's like the most realistic game. Besides maybe Metroid, you could probably make a case for that like Nintendo has. And to like make it cel shader or like dumb it down is like, it's just insulting. Like, it's what they do. It's like it's the only game that I can really get engaged in, like, and just be like, this is so crazy. The storyline's so intense. And
I mean, okay, so
that's surgeon game.
We've talked about cel shading in the past. we've talked about cel shading in the past because like there are games that have more mature content. That can do it correctly, but the way that Wind Waker was cel shaded was very childish. Like, yeah, it was
big
very
eyeballs, like anime.
Link was literally three feet tall. He was a foot and a half tall.
Getting back to Shifty25's the second part of his he said he wants a Zelda because he wants a good one that'll actually get him to buy a Wii U. Yep. Yeah,
that's pretty much how I feel too.
Listen, I think that's how Nintendo feels too, because they you know, if they put out a good Zelda game, that's gonna see an immediate spike in Wii U sales.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. They will officially hook me in if they can make a game. Doesn't have to be Zelda. If they can make a game that I can't deny buying. That's what it comes down to. Because it's not that expensive. Unlike like Xbox and PlayStation, it's not a huge financial investment. It's only like $180 now if you get like coupons and stuff like with games. No. And like, that's not that bad, really. Like, if you think about it, like when new titles are like $60-$70 now, it's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, given Mario Kart coming out and stuff like that, like, you can totally make a case as just like a fun device to have when you have people over.
But if they don't have a good game, it's a $180 brick in my room, basically. $180 paperweight, because I'm not going to play like
that. Right next to my TV that generates heat when I just leave it there next to the other and break it.
I play like Wii Party by myself or whatever, Wii U Party, whatever the hell that game is.
Well, and the Wii U has access to like the virtual console, right? Yeah, so I mean, you can still there's always something.
And I have all my old Wii controllers, so like the investment for that is like already there. So like, I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Those can sync with it.
That's the controller I think that you use on most games. The big one is only for like serious games are for like.
You wonder how much that one is if you want to get multiple ones of that.
It's really expensive, I think, isn't it?
It's basically the whole cost of the console.
It's like half the cost of the console, I think.
It basically is like a little handheld device. It can be used without the console, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. For some games, they make that expensive. That's always the worst when whenever Nintendo does that expansion pack and the Rumble pack. This can only be used with some games.
Oh, the Rumble pack. Do you remember that, dude? That was like it was like shakes when you shoot and when you get shot. Like, what the fuck? People were like, mind's blown. Like,
they're like,
I'm getting shot and I can feel it.
Like, it's so realistic. I crash into the wall and it shakes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It's the same shaking every time.
But the thing is, you needed to realize too at the time, like there weren't things like cell phone vibrations, like we didn't have any other thing that shook like that. So like it was like black magic technology. Like it was like this thing. Just how does it manage to shake back and forth? Like what kind of, is there like a hamster in there that's like freaking out? I remember being really confused as to how it was possible.
But I mean, you know, leave it to Nintendo to be like, you know what? We're gonna put a little shaky device in our controllers, and, you know. Not even that. We're gonna put it in a little box, and you're gonna have to pay extra. And then you're gonna plug it into your controller, and then you're gonna get
it's
a little
gonna
shaky.
Be like this monstrous box. It's not gonna be a little box. This is this gigantic, like weird shape casing going into a weird
and
shape
now
controller.
It's...
The thing is, like, we totally buy into this right now. But if you told me that Xbox had this like empty slot in the back of it where you could just shove random things into it, you'd be like, "That sounds stupid. That sounds like the worst thing ever."
But they must have known because they put like what they were. Well, I guess it was for memory cards at the time, but they knew that they were going to be doing that stuff to the N64 controller.
Every controller.
And now it's standard.
Every controller.
Every other controller, but it's inside.
Yep.
No wonder they cost $45, $50.
It's that Rumble pack.
It's all Rumble. It's all Rumble.
Second part of Shifty25 is getting a lot of airtime right now. He also said he wants to see Uncharted 4 and new IPs, and I think we'll definitely see, you know, for PlayStation. I think it's inevitable that we'll see something about Uncharted 4. At this conference, but when they announced, well, their teaser trailer was just like, you know, it showed like a map of Africa and like had some narrator talking over some shit. But if we see any gameplay, it's going to be a very, very, very short amount of gameplay, I think, because I don't think Uncharted is coming out until at least like holiday next year.
Yeah, there's been some rumbles about this I saw, so it's not...
Yeah, it's definitely not coming this year, that's for sure. I could see holiday 2015, that's my guess, but I'm excited for that, but...
Sometimes they like to throw stuff out at E3, though, that's not, like, anytime soon, so to speak, I guess, so...
Yeah, I think, like, you know, in the same vein as... Fallout, I think, would be the right time to put some sort of teaser out to get people
keep them thinking
about
it.
In
terms of new IPs, that's potentially one of the things I'm most excited about. Like the unknown, you know, there's a couple like codenamed games for the different consoles. One that's potentially like a Dark Souls or Demon Souls game that's coming out called Project Beast for PlayStation 4. And there's very little we know about it, but that's a new IP that's coming. And I don't know if it's a new IP, but that might just be another one in the realm of those games. But I think we'll see several new IPs just because we're in a new console generation, so you know, it's the perfect time to start up a new series.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's, I mean, That's what I would expect from this, because of exactly what you just said. You know, now that the hardware has been out there and established and stuff, now it's time to, like, really try to take advantage of that, and the best way to do that is just throw out new titles and new you know, genres or storylines, yeah, or however you want to look at them.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard to, you know, creating a new IP is, like, a lot of work, and I feel like if there's a good time to do it, it's with the launch of a new console, because you know you're going to be pulling in, like, you know, for a lot of people, this is going to be their first console, so this is like a chance for you to kind of,
right,
you know, build a legacy and, you know, to create a new IP and get people hooked on it is a really powerful thing. So, you know, I'm sure we'll see some.
And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see two new IPs from Microsoft, like each from Microsoft and Sony. And that's not, you know, that doesn't include like indie games. I'm talking like, you know, bigger AAA kind of titles, because you're always like indie games are always going to be new, you know, new titles. But and then the Wii U, like Nintendo won't have any new IPs because they haven't had new IPs in 20 years.
Yeah, right.
Because their IPs are basically their whole brand.
So.
Oh, Nintendo.
Let's go to another.
I wonder if the population of programmers for Nintendo is aging or slowly dying. And they're facing some sort of, like, gray tsunami of Nintendo programmers.
All of Nintendo's games are programmed in, like, COBOL and all these horrible, like, 40-year-old languages.
Let's go back to the...
Just like Japan's population.
Let's go back to the listeners. listener Corey Jackson responded to us on Facebook. He's the he's the host of Band of Brothers podcast, and Corey's excited about all the games, I think, as all of us are.
With a Z.
Game Z, yes. And he says, both Sony and Microsoft, I think, have killer E3s. He's pumped for this year. Bring on Last Guardian, Last of Us 2, Forza Horizon 2, and some Halo. Three-quarter of those I fully expect to see. The Last Guardian has been at every E3 for, like, the past 5 or 6 years. So, it's...
Really?
It's his prey, too.
It's one of those, like, it potentially will come out, but may never come out. So... Last of Us 2, I don't think they'll announce anything Last of Us 2, since Last of Us just came out like last year, and we'll see the quote unquote definitive edition for PlayStation 4. I think that'll be announced that it's coming out like next week. Forza Horizon 2.
That'd be cool.
I haven't seen much on that, but I've seen some screenshots. That looks pretty good. And then Halo 5, like, I don't know. I'm questionable.
I'm sorry, but I'm just like, I can't get into the new Halo games. They just, like, you know, I understand that they built up this huge, like, universe, and, you know, I give them credit for creating this amazing, you know, like, thing, but ever since Bungie left, like, the game just does not feel the same. I don't know. Like, I played Halo 4, and it was fun. It was a fun game, but it didn't pull me in like the original Halos. Maybe I just don't have my nostalgia goggles on, you know? I don't know what it is, but, you know, Halo, the original Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, you know, even Halo Reach, those games, they just, like, they struck a chord, and going and playing Halo 4 just didn't do it for me. So, you know, I mean, maybe they can reverse that with Halo 5, but... I don't know. I feel like it's going to take a lot to bring at least some of the people who grew up on Halo. It's going to take a lot to bring them back in. That being said, if they put out Halo 5 on Xbox,
just because it says Halo,
going to buy it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Right.
As we've seen with Call of Duty, it takes a lot to takes a lot of getting destroyed by a developer for you to feel completely compelled not to pay the money.
They need to just wrap shit in a box and sell it to for you to, even then you'll probably like, just still take it out and be like, alright, I'll play it.
Call of Duty Ghost didn't even work and I still paid them.
Nathan Dugas wrote to us on Facebook. He is actually the host of Frozen Gamers podcast. And he said, I want to see Red Dead Redemption and GTA 5 announced for PC, Zelda Majora's Mask for 3DS, and official release dates for both versions of Smash Brothers. I'd also like for Sony to announce some big games for PS4 being released in 2014, including a new Sly Cooper and an Infamous game for Vita. Yeah, so there's a lot of things in there that he's talking about.
I'm on the Smash Bros. Train. I saw some stuff about that. I would like to see some new stuff come out with that.
I think this isn't that the 3DS version is coming out sooner than the Wii U version.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't know if they have the date set, but I know that it's coming out soon, and they've already. I think they've already shown a lot of.
You
yeah,
think they
really
would
odd,
you know launch them at the same time?
Yeah, or something.
Well, I think for them, you know, the
yeah, that's true.
Better,
you know,
better
put
than
it out for the system that's actually it's gonna.
I almost feel like they just said, "Fuck it," you know, we blew it with the Wii U. All right, we're capitulating. We know we blew it. We're just gonna pretend like it never happened, and we're just gonna put it out on the 3DS, and you know, just give us a break.
They like they're like developers. The real truth is developers came in like, here's Smash Brothers. They're like what do we have to work with hardware wise? And they're like, here's the Wii U. And then they made it. And then someone came in and goes, it's the same as the 3DS. Just put it on the 3DS. And then we're like, all right, it's exactly the same. So just port it exactly to it.
Yeah.
Anyways. I'm excited for that, too. I saw some stuff about that. I'm a big Smash Bros. Fan, so... I mean, well, the new ones are confusing to me a little bit, but... but I still play them. I still buy them, so...
I would be excited about Majora's Mask on the 3DS. Like, that would almost make me want to buy a 3DS.
Yeah.
Or even one of the square-ass 2DSs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are doing that with the new Pokemon being called out, so, I mean, it really doesn't surprise me with all these other ones that they're coming out with. I feel you.
I agree with Nathan on the Sony stuff, because, you know, with the PS4 basically it doesn't have anything first party coming at the end of this year except for Drive Club, like the last half of 2014, which seems insane to me. So I think E3 is definitely going to be the place where they're like, hey, guess what? We actually have three or four new titles coming end of this year that we haven't told you anything about, but they're coming. So because otherwise, I mean, there's a lot of like third party titles. I mean, October is going to be like September through November is going to be insane for games because. Batman Arkham Knight is coming in October. Evolve is coming in October. Far Cry 4 is coming in October. The Evil Within has changed to being released. It's going to be released in October. Not that I care very much about The Evil Within anymore at this point. After the PAX East...
So sad.
Oh my god!
After
that was,
the PAX East horror show.
Was. Yeah. So.
The scariest part of the game was the.
Or the scariest part of the game was not actually the game. It was the guy that was just sitting at the front of the room, just like.
He's just staring at you while he's playing.
They're
like I'm gonna murder you.
They're like.
This is the game.
Like,
I come to your house once you buy it.
They're like, to scare the shit out of you, we actually got a known serial killer.
Don't worry, he's changing the floor.
This is like...
Don't get too close, he also has tetanus. Yes, he does.
And he bites.
So, yeah. So, there's gonna be some... I don't think, you know, in Destiny in September, obviously, I don't think anyone's going to be hurting for stuff to play, but I would like to see a first party title come from Sony.
Final Fantasy 100.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 15 and 14 apparently are coming at some point, but I don't care. So. Yep.
Someday.
Paper jigs.
I don't have 120 hours to put into a game. Nope. But it has to be a game that I enjoy, and I don't really enjoy JRPGs.
I mean, it's the biggest turnoff for me sometimes because now that MMOs are out, I'm like, if I'm going to spend 120 hours in a game, I might as well get it forever. So, even though, I mean, I quit an MMO eventually, but at least I can go back. But this, I'm like, I can't even show anybody. Like, no one will even believe me. I'm like, I spent 180 hours in this game. They're like, cool, dude. Nice story.
I was grinding, and I got really high level, and now I could beat the boss, like the final boss, real easy. Oh, and then I beat the final boss, like, and the game
cool.
ended.
cool.
I like the closure.
Yeah,
that's true. In MMO, it's like you go back and all those hours are nothing because all of a sudden the level caps are like raised. True. Like, I gotta put another 120 hours in.
This is a very, very valid point. You're like I spent like 400 days in this game, and you come back and you're like the shittiest character on the server.
Whereas when I go back and I play Final Fantasy Tactics and I go in there and all my characters are level 99 and I can teleport anywhere on the map, I'm like, oh, the boss.
Raise a valid point, right, Charles.
Well, I think that brings us to our top five this week, which is our the top five worst possible announcements to come out of E3 2014, which is the worst possible things that are not real, but we're predicting would be the worst things ever.
We're pretty much just making up a bunch of shit right now. But hopefully they're funny. who wants to do number one? I'll do it since I... Right. Okay, you want to do it?
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Alright, I put this so I can probably shit on it the most. And I said a new Assassin's Creed, which is actually funny because it's probably going to happen. But I feel like, personally, I'm just sick of seeing new Assassin's Creed. Every time I go to PAX and there's a new Assassin's Creed, like, there's spin-offs of Assassin's Creed now. Like, they're like, it's to an old game, then they do a game about, like, the Revolutionary War, and then they're in another boat, and then they make up one about pirates, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, next thing you know, it's going to be like Assassin's Creed, and it's going to have, like, my face on it, because some, like, new Assassin's Creed, like, the Sims Assassin's Creed or something.
Alternatively, yeah, not to get off on a tangent, what was the game that came out, the preview we saw, was like Lord of the Rings, but it was obviously based on Assassin's Creed?
That's I'm actually excited. It's called Shadows of Mordor.
Do you think that would come out with something new at E3 or no?
I think it comes out. I think that also comes out in October. That's another game that comes out.
Game looks sick.
It looks fun. Oh my god.
It makes me nerd rage, but I'm
there's so many games coming out in October. having cool. more than two Assassin's Creed games announced and happening at once, I think would kill everyone.
Word.
Yeah. Black flag. Black hag.
Takes place in Louisiana.
I feel like they're running out of things to do. It's gonna be like, they're gonna do like the Civil War, then they're gonna do like the Prohibition, and then it's gonna be like World War II, and then it's gonna be like they're gonna
the JFK assassination.
Yeah, and then
it's Assassin's Creed. The whole game is just you killing JFK. No, they're gonna go to like ancient China and shit, and like Paris.
Well, they are in Paris. Unity is French Revolution.
Oh, well, there you go. See, I didn't even have to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see that.
I don't know where Comet takes place. I didn't see what it was about. Like,
Les Miserables. It's just gonna be. Singing Les Mis songs.
I have to say, I'm not, like, I really liked, Assassin's Creed 3 was shitty. Assassin's Creed 4, actually re-interested me in the franchise because it was different than the rest of the franchise. Like, it kind of put a new spin on, like, gameplay and had a new aspect to it. But if Unity is just French Revolution, where you're just walking through, like, big cities, like Paris, like, as beautiful as it may be, I don't really care. Like, I need something different. Like, I'm kind of, I'm burnt out.
There's going to be so many guillotines.
You know, they can only rehash hash the game so many times before it just gets old. Yep.
They're just going to make the whole thing, like, steampunk Dishonored, and you're going to be, like, running up to side of buildings.
It's going
to
be...
killing whales and using the oil to...
Mech Warrior Assassin's Creed.
Nonsense.
But, I mean, to be fair, I think they've done a good job of, like, introducing new features, because, you know, they added ships, they added, like, ship battles, it's progressively gotten better over time, but it's still... It's going to take a lot to keep people interested.
Yeah.
They've really got to accelerate quickly.
Yeah.
Because now that they've introduced ships, it's like, well, what's the next phase?
Ships. Ships with engines!
It's like Age of Empires.
I hope Assassin's Creed Comet takes place in space. The year is 2347.
That actually should happen. That should be the Space Wars in the 60s.
It's going to be like Jason in space, man.
Jason.
Jason X.
In space.
Yeah, it's good. Good
Jason
movie.
X.
Anyway, number two.
You should probably go to the number two.
Mortal Kombat 10.
Nope.
New Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So we haven't really seen anything on the new Mortal Kombat yet. It's Mortal Kombat 10, but the worst possible scenario of the new Mortal Kombat game would be that it's a sequel to Mortal Kombat Mythologies Sub-Zero, which was
the worst
a Sub-Zero adventure game.
Pretty much.
I think the reason it was so hard is because there was like legitimate. Like button combos you needed to do basic moves. Like
not only that, but you needed to push one of the bumpers to turn around.
Yeah.
You could not turn around unless you pushed the button. Like it wasn't like you could just go side to side, like you had to push a button.
That's broken.
It was the game was ridiculous.
Yeah. So instead of just pressing B and shooting an ice ball, which is a reasonable response, it was like up, down, left, right, and then by the time you're trying to do that, the guy would instantly kill you.
It's like the Mortal Kombat developers were like, you know what, we're going to make a side-scroller, and it was just awful. Like, they should have stopped immediately and saved themselves all the trouble. That being said, I think we all played it. We were all like, yeah!
No, we all played it because it was notoriously bad. Because we enjoyed punishment. We did enjoy Circus Peanuts.
Yeah, Circus Peanuts were pure punishment.
That's true.
And Double Ghost from 7-Eleven.
So much sugar. Number three.
I put down that Nintendo, instead of announcing Zelda or any other games for the Wii U, is just going to go out and announce a new system. And I've heard rumblings of a new system already. Mostly that they have a plan for what their next system is going to be and what features they will have. But it would be hilarious and awful if they just were like, nope, we're just going to release a new system. Screw all y'all.
To hell with the Wii U.
Like it's the Wii U too.
Yeah, and then they have Bono come out on stage.
Sponsored by Bono.
Where the streets have no names.
Thank God it's in this Christmas time. Thank God it's them instead of you.
Oh, shit.
That'd be a great song for the Wii U too. Everyone's getting one during Christmas.
So yes.
Wii U 2. Wii U 2 would like they come with like a shirt that was like a controller and you have to like do stuff with it. Like I can't even imagine the gimmick shit that they could come up with. I can't fathom it.
It's a full body suit that it comes with. And the Wii U 2 comes in three different sizes. Terrible.
For you too. It comes with the complimentary sunglasses in each one.
Number 4.
All right, let's do this one. This is the worst one on the list by far.
Free to play games, and it's going to be announced that there will be in-game purchases in all of those games. For consoles.
For consoles, I think, because we already have... Like, find out that, like, Assassin's Creed is going to be free to play, but if you want to do anything, and you got to buy in-game items.
Oh, you want to renovate the city? Well, guess what? You got to pay that $4.99 a month for that.
The thing is, it's always convoluted in something. Like, you need to pay, you need platinum coins or something, and you're like, oh, I get platinum coins by completing quests, but you only get, like, 10, and then you need, like, 1,000 to, like, you know, add a mailbox outside a house or something.
If you buy 20,000, if you...
That was the worst.
If you buy 20,000 shillings, it's only $50. Like...
If this ever happens to consoles, and I know this won't happen right now, but if this happens...
I'm giving up on gaming altogether.
I'm gonna freak out.
I won't do it.
Truth. I'll just go back to the old games.
I'll just go to collecting my NES games hardcore. Cartridges. There will never be in-game purchases there.
It's fucked up.
Number 5.
Number 5.
Alright, number 5. Anything related to Call of Duty. Because, really.
Let's face it. It's the same. It's worse than Assassin's Creed, and nobody wants to play those.
It's like we know it's going to happen. It's just... Do it at a time when no one... Because no one really cares. Like, we all know it's coming. Just do it, like, in the wee hours of the night sometime so that no one knows about it. We'll read about it in the morning.
I'll see it on the Mountain Dew can, so it's not a big deal.
I think Microsoft will probably have some sort of big part of their... Or a piece of their conference be dedicated to Call of Duty, since... Microsoft and Call of Duty always have kind of some sort of bond, and maybe Kevin Spacey will come out and be like, yo, I'm Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Watch why.
He just gets on stage and starts rubbing his nipples, and that's what's going to happen.
Have you guys all watched House of Cards?
I'm halfway through the second season, so I've been watching it. So when I saw that trailer for the new Call of Duty with him, I was like, this is awesome. I was like, but I'm not falling for this. I'm not falling for this. It's like an ex-girlfriend. You're like, no.
Stop it.
Go. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's in the second season. He has like a video game that he plays, but I can't remember if it's Call of Duty or what.
Yeah, he plays it in, he plays it even in the first season, too. He plays it.
I just thought it was ironic that he just happened to be in it after he played it.
I never thought about that. Yeah, he plays like a first-person shooter, and I don't know if it's COD. It's hard to tell.
I'm pretty sure it is Call of Duty. And to be honest, like, they probably planned that way beforehand.
Well, the games are old, so like, if he filmed it a couple years ago, maybe he was involved then. Like,
well, I feel like for Call of Duty, they were like, all right, most of like our older gamers are just jaded. They know the jig is up. They figured it out. We'll lure them in with, like, someone reputable that they know about. All right, we'll get Kevin Spacey. We'll get him back. Because I know, dude. For me, it was like, oh, dude. Now I gotta play it because Kevin Spacey's in it, and I fucking love House of Cards.
Yeah, I still won't buy it launch date. To say, and even if I get it, I would never ever get a launch date title from.
Yep.
Yeah, get burnt on Ghost.
Anyways.
Toast.
let's go right into what we've been playing. Tim, why don't you go first since you've
I've been playing so much WildStar. I'm thinking in WildStar right now.
Talk to me in WildStar.
We've been playing I've been playing with a few of Steve and a couple other people, and we started during Head Start at midnight. Well, it was 2 a.m. here, 3 a.m. for those guys. And we played basically for 24 hours straight on, I guess it was Friday night into Saturday. And we've just been playing nonstop since then. The game is You know, I think it's to be transparent, I think I still have like the new game like glasses on, so I'm not seeing it for what it really is yet, but you know, it's a lot of fun. It's different. It's you know, it doesn't try to be something it's not. It just kind of accepts the craziness and runs with it. And you know, I've gotten a lot further than I got in the beta, and I feel like I have a better idea of the game now. And it has its shortcomings for sure. But so far, I think it's really a good game. It's fun. If you're an MMO fan, it's worth picking up and playing. You know, at least for the free. I mean, the first 30 days. But yeah.
Is it officially out now?
Yeah, I think Monday or Tuesday was officially released. Yep.
Yeah, so I've been playing that a bunch too. I'm not as much. I was at a conference, so I was playing like instead of going to talks and stuff. But so I was playing that a bunch, and I also played Watch Dogs since my new computer video card came with it, a free copy. I probably should have just sold it on eBay, but I played Watch Dogs for probably 4 or 5 hours now. It's pretty good. I like it a lot. I know it's got some pretty like bad reviews, but like I said, I didn't pay for it, so I think my expectation level is much lower, or like my I guess I'm just like, if something isn't great, I don't really like seem to care as much. And
it's like a really, really good free to play title.
Yeah, and so and also too, I didn't know that much about it going in, so like I didn't know it was open world and you could like get cars and you could get houses sort of, or
so it's like, basically like Grand Theft Auto.
It's like Grand Theft Auto hacker version with some other things, and they have skill points and stuff, which I don't know if the new GTA has, but the old ones didn't have this, where you could like you know, improve your aim and stuff. So it's kind of like it's got some cool things like that, and there's a lot of mini games and stuff. I mean, I think it's pretty cool so far. So I guess the verdict just isn't really, you know, out on that yet, in my opinion, but I think it's cool so far.
Yeah.
I guess I was delightfully surprised by the open world concept. I thought it was going to be a very linear game, like Remember Me or something. So when I got to that point, I was like, oh shit, I can just drive wherever I want. This is so much cooler than this is so much more than I expected it to have in it. Not that those games are cooler, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I am playing Dark Souls 2. Dying a lot still.
So you're playing it right.
I'm doing it right, though. I think I'm gonna restart my character entirely because I'm at this one point. I'm just like, I hate this guy. So
how many hours?
I think I'm gonna restart. I'm enjoying the world, but it's like I'm not that many, and really, this last couple of weeks have been just insane. I'm probably like 20 hours in or so. But
gotcha.
Soon. Yeah. Got so many games I need to play. Such is life.
Well, I've been playing, I've been continuing to play Wolfenstein The New Order, which I loved. It was great. It was a, like, great first-person shooter. No.
Are you platinum yet?
Only a few trophies ago. I have to go back and get some of the collectibles in the levels. And those are the only things I need to do. Everything else I did. I played through on uber difficulty, first playthrough, which killed me a little bit, but yeah. I did it. I just finished it like 2 days ago, and I also I actually got into the PlayStation Now PS4 beta, which I can't talk about.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. That's awesome.
Technically, yeah. But
good old NDA.
I've been playing it, and it's interesting. You know, it'll be cool to see how it works out.
But what's the concept for the just the
PlayStation Now is it's going to be streaming PlayStation 3 games on the PlayStation 4. So it's all streaming. Okay. You'll be able to rent them for periods of time. yeah.
Cool.
So that's that. That brings us to the end of the podcast.
Very good.
I want to thank everyone who wrote in this week, which includes Ivan Ooze, Shifty 25, Wolf King 2010, Corey Jackson, and Nathan Dugas. Thank you, all of our other listeners, for listening in. And look forward to Tim and I are going to be on a joint podcast with 8-Bit Bourbon, which is also on iTunes. And we're going to be doing some post E3 discussions with those guys, so keep an eye out. Oh yeah, absolutely. We're
gonna break out our bourbon for that one.
Single batch bourbon waiting for me right now.
I'll drink some bourbon when I listen to it.
It just feels right.
Bourbon in your belly, bourbon in your belly, bourbon in your belly. Get the hell out.
And on that note, this has been episode 39 of Late Night Gamers Podcast. I'm Nick Brzezinowski. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. We're out. It's late. Get out of my house.
Adios. Night.
Late night.
It's not your office.
Steve.
This game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late night gamers.
I can move out of the way if you want. Okay, alright.
What just happened? Steve is potentially getting kicked out of the office.
Evacuate the building. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, Steve.
The cleaners came in.
No.
You said, what the hell are you doing in here?
I was like, lo siento, por favor.